Jean-Baptiste Camille Corot was a quiet young man who didn't seem to excel at much of anything. Apprenticed to a draper after his schooling came to an end, he was bored and hated the business end of the job. But, to please his father, he continued in the job until he was ready to seek permission to pursue art as a career. Receiving that permission and a small yearly allowance, the artist, now in his mid-20s, set up a studio and began painting landscapes. During the period when Corot acquired the means to devote himself to art, landscape painting was on the upswing and generally divided into two camps. One, historical landscapes by neoclassicists in southern Europe representing idealized views of real and fancied sites peopled with ancient mythological and biblical figures. And two, realistic landscape, more common in northern Europe, which was largely faithful to actual topography, architecture, and flora, and which often showed figures of peasants. In both approaches, landscape artists would typically begin with outdoor sketching and preliminary painting, with finishing work done indoors. Highly influential upon French landscape artists in the early 19th century was the work of Englishmen John Constable and J.M.W. Turner, who reinforced the trend in favor of realism and away from neoclassicism. For a short period between 1821 and 1822, Corot studied with Achille Etna Michelon, landscape painter of Corot's age, who was a protege of the painter Jacques-Louis David, and who was already a well-respected teacher. Michelon had a great influence on Corot's career. Corot's drawing lessons included tracing lithographs, copying three-dimensional forms, and making landscape sketches and painting outdoors, especially in the forests of Fontainebleau, the seaports along Normandy, and the villages west of Paris, such as Ville d'Avry, where his parents had a country house. Michelon also exposed him to the principles of the French neoclassic tradition, as espoused in the famous treaty of theorist Pierre-Henri de Valenciennes, and exemplified in the works of French neoclassicists Claude Lorrain and Nicolas Poussin, whose major aim was the representation of ideal beauty in nature linked with events in ancient times. Though his school was in decline with public popularity, it still held sway in the Salon, the foremost art exhibition in France, attended by thousands at each event. Corot later stated, "I made my first landscape from nature, under the eye of this painter, whose only advice was to render with the greatest scrupulousness everything I saw before me. The lesson worked. Since then, I have always treasured precision." After Michelon's early death in 1822, Corot studied with Michelon's teacher, Jean-Victor Bertin. Among the best-known neoclassical landscape painters in France, who had Corot draw copies of lithographs of botanical subjects to learn precise organic forms. Though holding neoclassicists in the highest regard, Corot did not limit his training to their tradition of allegory set in imagined nature. His notebooks reveal precise renderings of tree trunks, rocks, and plants, which show the northern realism. Throughout his career, Corot demonstrated an inclination to apply both traditions in his work, sometimes combining the two. With his parents' support, Corot followed the well-established pattern of French painters who went to Italy to study the masters of the Italian Renaissance and to draw the crumbling monuments of Roman antiquity. A condition by his parents before leaving was that he would paint a self-portrait for them, his first. Corot's stay in Italy from 1825 to 1828 was a highly formative and productive one, during which he completed over 200 drawings and 150 paintings. He worked and traveled with several young French painters also studying abroad, who painted together and socialized at night in the cafes, critiquing each other's work and gossiping. Corot learned little from the Renaissance masters, though later he cited Leonardo da Vinci as his favorite painter, and spent much of his time around Rome and in the Italian countryside. The Farnese Gardens, with its splendid view of the ancient ruins, was a frequent destination, and he painted it at three different times of the day. The training was particularly valuable in gaining an understanding of the challenges of both the mid-range and panoramic perspective, and in effectively placing man-made structures in a natural setting. He also learned how to give buildings and rocks the effect of volume and solidity with proper light and shadow, using a smooth and thin technique. Furthermore, placing subtle figures in a secular setting was a necessity for good landscape painting to add human context and scale, and was even more important in allegorical landscapes. To that end, Corot worked on figure studies in native garb as well as in the nude. During winter, he spent time in the studio but returned to work outside as quickly as weather permitted. The intense light of Italy posed considerable challenges. "This sun gives off a light that makes me despair. It makes me feel the utter powerlessness of my palette." He learned to master the light and to paint the stones and sky in subtle and dramatic variation. During his two trips to Italy, he visited northern Italy, Venice, and again the Roman countryside. In 1835, Corot created a sensation at the Salon with his biblical painting, Hagar in the Wilderness, which depicted Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden, and the child Ishmael, dying of thirst in the desert until saved by an angel. The background was likely derived from Italian studies. This time, Corot's unanticipated, bold, fresh statement of the neoclassical idea succeeded with the critics by demonstrating the harmony between the setting and the passion or suffering the painter chooses to depict in it. Historians have divided Corot's work into periods, but the point of divisions are often vague, as he often completed a picture years after he began it. In his early period, he painted traditionally and tight, with minute exactness, clear outlines, thin brushwork, and an absolute definition of objects throughout, with a monochromatic underpainting or ébauché. After he reached his 50th year, his methods changed to focus on breadth of tone and an approach to poetic power conveyed with thicker application of paint. And about 20 years later, from about 1865 onward, his manner of painting became more lyrical, affected with more impressionistic touch. In part, this evolution in expression can be seen as marking the transition from plein air painting of his youth, shot through with natural warm light, to the studio-created landscapes of his late maturity, enveloped in uniform tones of silver. In his final 10 years, he became the Father Corot of the French Parisian circles, where he was regarded with personal affection and acknowledged as one of the greatest 5 or 6 landscape painters the world had ever seen, along with Hobbema, Lorraine, Turner, and Constable. In his long and productive life, he painted over 3,000 paintings.